Esto es Rise and Shine, un momento de tranquilidad, música y muy buenas charlas.
You're listening to Urbana Radio. We're talking with Dan Perelman, owner of Salt Shaker, a really interesting blog, and food critic and connoisseur. I'm Alvin Adams. I'm at the microphone, your host for Rise and Shine. And if you're not out of bed yet, think seriously about doing it in the next 15 minutes. let me say, pizza, you mentioned pizza. There's lots of controversy about pizza.
It's a contentious pizza here, pizza Italy,
pizza America.
It's a contentious subject here. You know, I think what it is for people from other places, the style of pizza here is different. It doesn't mean that it's bad. It doesn't mean that it's good. It's just different, which is tends to have a minimal amount of sauce, and the sauce is often not as spiced as we may be used to in, say, New York or something like that. And it tends to have more cheese. In fact, I've taken to, it took a little doing, you just start ordering, I want half the cheese on the pizza. Which, of course, the first few times resulted in getting cheese on one side and still just as thick. But eventually you get it there. But I think that's it. It's a different style of eating it in a different, a different type of pizza.
Purist.
Just as I grew up in the Midwest and I'm used to sort of that Chicago, Detroit style pizza.
Oh, don't talk about it.
New York pizza or Italian pizza.
It's a kitchen sink approach, right? You can get everything in American pizza.
Absolutely.
Pineapple, bananas, you name it.
Well, you can get that here too.
Well, I haven't seen the pineapple. Hawaiian pizza.
They have Hawaiian pizza here.
Do they?
Yeah.
Where?
You can probably find it at almost any pizzeria here. Just order it.
Oh.
Ham and pineapple.
Now, the business of being a food critic. I guess you're a food critic.
You
go around, you visit these restaurants, you put them on your blog.
Put them on the blog. I write about them for various magazines.
Very entertaining.
Thank you.
How does what's the life of a food critic? Are you welcome back at the places that you write up?
I think so. First of all, I'm not writing for, one of the big newspapers here or something that's going to have some huge significant effect on somebody's business. I also don't go in and announce who I am. So, I'm fairly anonymous.
Secret.
When I'm there.
Did they recognize you, though?
I never have been that right. I know of.
You don't go back to the same place twice.
I go back places all the time.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know that they necessarily connect that with the blog. First of all, the blog is in English. So whether or not a local restaurateur is necessarily reading that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What is the professional standard for food critics in terms of accepting meals from those they visit?
I think just as anyone in the journalism profession, you don't accept freebies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, my journalistic corner of this profession, I don't get anything offered anyway. What would you say is the greatest living food critic?
The greatest living food critic.
What was the New York Times guy, great food critic, who's now passed away?
Craig Claiborne.
Did you know him?
I did.
I bet you did.
I had met Craig Claiborne and spent a day cooking with him in his house out on Long Island.
Wonderful.
Which was a thrill. It was actually way back when I was in cooking school.
For those who don't know, tell the world who he was.
Well, Craig Claiborne was, first of all, he was the first man to ever do any food writing for an American newspaper. Prior to that, all food writing had been done by women. It was something, it was considered that was a woman's job. And he was the first true restaurant critic for an American newspaper who actually established standards of revisiting restaurants over and over to really get a sense of them rather than just going by first impression, setting up a system of a rating system for them, and trying to be as objective as he possibly could.
He's kind of the gold standard for food criticism and author of many books.
Yes.
What did you cook up with him? Do you remember?
We did a crab and corn chowder, which was the real standout. And honestly, I don't remember what else because that was just so good.
Pizza. You're listening to Urbana FM 89.5 on your dial, on your spectrum here in downtown Buenos Aires. It's Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, and you're listening to Alvin Adams on the microphone, bringing you your favorite Saturday morning show, Rise and Shine. So get up and go. We are talking with Dan Perelman, owner of Salt Shaker and a food critic and man about town, connoisseur. We're just talking about Craig Claiborne, one of the great world-famous critics in the United States, author of many books. How did he contribute to the understanding of food? That's the purpose, is it not, of food criticism?
I think so. And I think what he did is, you know, he was contemporary with sort of the rise of American cuisine, the start of that whole development of an American cuisine, and I mean that in terms of the U.S. American cuisine, instead of, you know, restaurants just doing French cooking or, you know, Italian cooking, but actually to try to create that. And what Craig did is really publicize that. You know, he saw what people were doing and gave it the press that it deserved as it developed, which helped fuel the ability for that to continue.
Kind of teaching people.
Teaching people and also even just letting them know it was going on. You know, if you were in the heartlands of America where I grew up, you didn't know that people in New York and San Francisco were developing this new American cuisine.
How about the Guide Michelin?
And
the Guide Michelin. Well-known, but sometimes criticized itself.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think in terms of its standards for criticism, it's very good. It suffers from a reputation of being very French, Franco-centric, although I think that's changing with time. And it suffers from the criticism that that many of the guides out there are rated on a different standard. Michelin, you know, started out as a sort of, this is a place worth making a trip to or not, because it was a road guide. It was it was a travel guide.
For the rubber tire company.
Yeah, for the Michelin Tire Company. And it built from there to the point where I think there's a perception that it's a little too stuffy. Whether or not it's actually true is the question.
One final last little question, and that is, what makes a great chef, a great cook?
Passion.
Passion. And patience? Imagination? Curiosity?
Absolutely. I don't know about patience, but...
And improvising, like
lots
great
of us
jazz.
Are very impatient.
Like great jazz, yeah?
Yeah.
So you're a master of jazz in the kitchen, right?
I hope so.
Well, you've been listening to Dan Perelman. We need to wrap this part of the show up. You've been listening to Urbana FM 89.5, Buenos Aires. Alvin Adams here at the microphone, bringing you Rise and Shine. Dan, thanks so much for coming on. Really interesting.
Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Hope to have you back soon.
Okay.
Every day you live a life so full of hope. Shouldn't drag your soul around you like a length of rope. You remember everything you thought your life would be. Well, it's falling through the cracks of ancient history. Something that I never, something.
Esto es Rise and Shine.
Welcome back to the show Rise and Shine on Urbana FM 89.5. Alvin Adams at the microphone, bringing you a program on food. In this segment of the show, we'll be talking cookies and sweet things with Frank Almeida. He is, if not the king of brownies, then at least somewhere in the royal household, very close to the monarch. Frank is the owner of a fairly new and very successful business in Buenos Aires. It's called Sugar and Spice. Hola, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Al, for the invitation, and good morning to everybody who's listening to us.
Frank, I'm just amazed by the number of pastelerias, confiterias, cafes, bombonerias here in Buenos Aires. There are more, it seems to me, per capita than there are in Vienna, which is, you know, the great chocolate and pastry capital of the world. I mean, how is it that there is a niche for a product like you bring to Buenos Aires?
And I think it took somebody from the outside to realize that, because I did notice that you can, the city was full with panaderias, and you can find sweet stuff just around almost every corner. But you could never find a high-end gourmet or like a homemade chocolate chip cookie, for example, or a biscotti, or a brownie for that matter. So I identified that. I did a market study, and I went all out for doing a test run. And
what gave you the idea to look for that, though? What gave you walking past a bombonería or something?
No.
You say, my goodness, you don't have a chocolate chip cookie here. Why?
You know, I think it's one of those things when you sit down and you start to miss some of the things from home. Oh. And then that was one of the things I realized that I missed. And it just kind of clicked. You know, I just I miss chocolate chip cookies, and I realized that you can't find them.
You know, I have a list here for you of other things that I missed here. One of them is Skippy peanut butter or something like that, smooth.
Yes.
Then another thing is cottage cheese. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is cheddar cheese, and Vermont cheddar cheese. Now, if you can work magic with the cookies, you can certainly do something on that score, because I really miss it. But you know, that is, you know, isn't that kind of the genius of an entrepreneur who is thinking all the time about an opportunity, who may walk down the street and spot something in a window, and that gives him an idea. Mm-hmm. I suppose in your case, too, you're constantly thinking of opportunities here. Were you?
Yes, especially at that time, too, because we had just gone through the financial meltdown 2001, and both at that time, my wife and I, we had both corporate jobs, and it kind of jogged us and we were thinking we wanted something that had a little, we wanted to take a little bit more control over our lives and not rely on somebody from some office somewhere else telling us that now we had to move away or live somewhere else. So we started looking for something that we could do on our own.
And mind you, you're talking to someone who spent 30 years in bureaucracy, moving all over the place and working sometimes for jerks. But anyway, I can well appreciate the sense of freedom that you were lusting for. Why Buenos Aires?
Well, I guess if when you break this story down to its essence, it has to be a love story.
Always the case.
I fell in love with an Argentine girl who was studying in Chicago, and we started seeing each other, and we eventually moved in together. And after a while, she started missing her home. And I've always been open to the idea of living outside the state. So when that opportunity came up for me to live in Argentina without me knowing too much about it, I said, sure. So I followed her down here.
A love story.
Yeah.
You should write it up. No? Tell me about the product. What products are in your line?
Well, we started out with biscotti. We have an almond biscotti, and then we have three flavors of cantuccini, which are a little bit smaller. There's a nocciola, which is hazelnut and chocolate. Then there's a chocolate with nuts. And then there's cantucci mandorle, which has almonds
garlic
and raisins. That would be interesting.
What else did you sell?
And then we have the chocolate chip cookie, the American products. So those were the Italian ones. And we have the American products, which are the chocolate chip cookies, the passion for chocolate cookies, the oatmeal raisin cookies, and the brownie.
Oh my
god. Chocolate and nuts. And
then we have a German Stollen bread,
which is like a when I describe it here to the locals, it's like a pan dulce.
Oh, I love that. Ooh. Well,
And then we also have pound cakes. We have like four different
boudin.
Pound cakes. Exactly.
Love boudin.
We have the what everyone locally here knows as boudin inglés. And we also have a chocolate pound cake, banana walnut, and a lemon poppy seed.
How did you decide to offer these particular products? Did you do market research, or it's just a dream you had?
Well,
wife suggested it.
Well, they are all her recipes.
Seriously, hers or her grandmother's?
There's a little bit of that. The boudin inglés came from her aunt, and the oatmeal raisin cookies came actually from a friend of mine from high school. And the rest is all hers.
Chocolate chip?
It's hers.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're listening to Urbana FAM 89.5. Stay with us while we take a break. Take a break for some music, which will help you greet the day with a smile. We'll be right back.
Rise and Shine, conversaciones en clave íntima.